This is a true story taken from an actual medical file.
Nursing was defined in Florence Nightingale's notes of 1859 as follows. I use the word nursing for want of a better. It has been limited to signify little more than the administration of medicines and the application of poultices. It ought to signify the proper use of fresh air, light, warmth, cleanliness, quiet, and the proper selection and administration of diet, all at the least expense of vital power to the patient. Today, one might add to that a keen observation, plus the ability to care compassionately for the sick without personal involvement.
Pull yourself together now, Spinnick. Crying isn't going to bring the poor lad back.
I know, sister, but I mean, what a servant, that's all he was. Poor little mite. I mean, what chance did he have in life?
Nurse Fenwick, though I'm bound to agree with your sentiments, I might point out that you'll make a far more efficient member of the nursing profession the moment you stop becoming so emotionally attached to your patients. Now, kindly compose yourself and return to your ward duties.
She's hard, that one, Mary. If it was her little laddie as had died, she'd take a different tone, I reckon.
Medical File. Factual stories of the men and women whose vigilance guards our lives. A reconstruction of clinical case histories, step by step with the doctors who were there. Medical File.
Nursing and Judy Parrish came together almost by accident. It happened way back in the early 60s. When Judy had met and later married a young constable in the Yorkshire Constabulary. Needing some kind of casual occupation during the long lonely evenings, when Ben, her young husband, was on duty pounding the beat, a friend had suggested they take a course in first aid. The subject had so fascinated Judy that she decided to take a more active interest in the care of the sick. At first, her husband hadn't been too keen on his young wife becoming engaged in so exacting a profession, but at length he'd agreed to her becoming an auxiliary or part-time nurse's aide. At first, this worked well enough, but Judy's interest grew as she became more and more involved with her duties at the hospital. Judy really felt she'd finally found her vocation in life, and after all, who was Ben to stand in her way? At length he realized it was useless opposing his wife's enthusiasm and agreed to her engaging in a full-time training program. And anyway, wasn't he becoming just as involved with his own career in the police force? She enrolled as a full-time student at a nursing school, from which, after several years of keen application, Judy Parrish emerged as a fully registered nurse. She became a staff nurse at a local infirmary in her hometown, graduating to senior sister. But ever ambitious for new fields to conquer, she decided to specialize in the treatment of burns, and therefore joined the center responsible for this type of specialized treatment. As for her marriage, well, Ben was a very accommodating and understanding husband. He had to be.
Okay, love. I'll look to these. You go and get yourself sorted.
Oh, thanks, Ben. Here, I'm in that much of a rush tonight. A night super's down with flu.
Still?
Aye. Looks like there'll be a week, yes. Why, oh, I hate night duty. I don't know. Everything seems to go wrong on nights. Ben, have you seen me back anywhere?
Yeah.
No, not that one. No, my small grip. It's got my spare black corks in it. Oh, yes.
Not for wearing them old things.
Oh, they're comfy. You want to try traipse in the wards all night. See how your feet like it.
Oh, I've done my share of pounding the beat, if you remember.
Oh, yes, of course, love. Well, I'm off.
Ta-ra, Judy, love. See you around 6, haven't
I? Aye. Have a cuppa ready for me, will you, before you leave?
See, cornflakes, egg and toast. How's that suit?
Oh, Ben, you're that good to me.
Don't I know it. When are we going to settle down, eh?
Oh, you're not starting on about babies and that, are you?
Yeah, why not? Not so unusual, is it? All right, off you go. Yeah, I might just pop over to Joan Abbey's. Yeah, the new house is coming along.
Hi, do that. I give her my love. Oh, hey, look at the time. I'll get shot. But that's all he said, sister.
Whatever this meant to be, nurse, really, you must improve your handwriting. He keeps complaining, sister. Says we're all inefficient.
Baggy's clothing report, Nurse Fennec, is no better than no report at all.
Sorry, I'm a trifle late, everybody.
Oh. Night, sister's office. Hold on. Sister Parrish, for you.
Oh, yes, thanks.
Parrish speaking. Cash or tea, but... Well, yes, I'm sure, but we're already understaffed and what we're... Oh, no, I didn't know she was off sick as well. Yeah, well, of course, I'd borrow a sister for one of the other wards if I could, but... Oh, yeah, well, very well, Doctor. There seems nothing else for it but to deputise myself. But, yes, I know I am, but there simply isn't anyone else available. I'll be down in a few minutes. Oh, hello, Knights. Sister Braid. Look after the day nurse's reports, will you? I have to go down to casualty.
Why?
Head nurse is off sick and there's no sister on the casualty wing. I'll be down there if anybody needs me. I'll send the report down when you're ready, will you?
Well, I must say the new house is coming on a treat, Joe.
Aye, not so bad, is it? What do you think of this colour? Bit daring, would you say, Ben?
Well, it isn't my choice, but what's Abby say about it?
Yeah, she likes it.
Hey, where is she, by the way?
Let's pop down to her ma's. Been doing a spot of machining for her.
Aye. Hey, what happened about that wiring? Did you get the fella?
Oh, you gotta be joking. What he wanted to charge, not your life. No. Did it myself, didn't I?
I hope you know what you're doing.
It's a cake, nothing to it. Hey, you haven't seen our Carol's room, have you? Side lamps by the bed, a fire in the wall, it's a proper treat, it does. Here, come and have a look.
All right. Hey, won't you be asleep?
No. Sleeps like a log, does our Carol. Come on.
Right.
Of course, this passage, that's the next job. Abby reckons mirrors all down this one wall, just to reflect a bit of light, you know.
Hey, cost you a bob or two, will that?
Yes, now.
Right.
There, now. What do you make of that, then?
You've done a nice job there, Joe. Hey. Surely you don't leave that fire on all night, do you?
Well, it's a bit nippy nights now. Safe enough. Hey, look at her. My little Bobby Dazzle, ain't she? Good night, Pet. Come on, let's get back to the parlour. If I ain't done with that painting by the time our Abby gets back, there'll be hell to pay.
Yeah, you know, Joe, I'm not too happy about that fire left like that.
Hey, Ben, you're as bad as our Abby. It's all right, I tell you.
You continue clearing away those things. Nurse Fletcher, come in here with me, will you?
Hey, just ready for this. Reckon that's a good night's work we've done, eh, Ben?
Hey, what about that bit of wall up there, then?
What? Oh, heck, I never noticed that.
Oh, well,
I'll have to do now till tomorrow. Here, get this tea down.
All right. Hey, what about your Abby? Yeah, thought as how you said she'd play ill if he wasn't done. Hey, nice cup of Joe.
Yeah, well, that's too bad, that's all I can say. I mean, what if you want, blood? Hey, and how come you're not working tonight?
Yeah.
I mean, don't tell us there's been a miraculous drop in the local crime rate.
You're on leave, ain't I?
So, how come you're not off away someplace, then?
Well, it's our duty, ain't it? Deputising for matron or something. I tell you, Joe, I'm just about getting a touch sick of this here nursing like.
Yeah. What's up?
You can't just smell something?
Smell? No, I... Yeah, I can. It's as if... Carol!
Come on. Open the door.
Oh, no.
The bed! It must have been a short. Hey, quick, Joe, find the mains and throw the switch.
Carol!
Do you hear me, Joe? The mains!
Let me go!
Go in there. I'll get her. You throw the main switch. Go on, man.
Carol.
All right, lassie. I'll get you. Oh, heaven help us. No! Carol! Look, Carol, all right, lassie. Hey, Joe! You there?
Aye.
Get the rug, man. The rug.
Aye.
Put a wrapper in.
Ben, are you?
I've got her. Swallow the flames. Roll her in the rug. Joe, help me. Help me.
Oh.
mind. Now, don't dash about like that. A nurse with a broken ankle's no use to anyone. Orderly! Why hasn't this patient been wheeled through to intensive care now? At once, man, at once! Nurse, this cubicle's a disgrace. It's an absolute breeding ground for germs. Now, clean it up at once, please.
Sister, we've two new cases just arrived.
Burn cases?
Aye. It's a child and an adult. Looking a pretty bad way, the child especially.
All right, now, bring them through. And Nurse Bradley, prepare two new cubicles and find Dr. Modley. Tell him of two new burn cases just arrived. And don't run, girl!
Yes, sister.
Now, right. Now, take the child through to... Heavens. Is she conscious?
No, sister, I don't think so.
All right, now take her through. Bring the adult this way, please. Well, at least this one...
Julie?
Oh, Ben. Ben. Oh, sister. Sister Parrish, are you all right, sister?
Yes, sir. Yes, nurse, I should be all right. That man, the one who has just come in, it's my husband.
Sister Judy Parrish refused all suggestions that she should be relieved of her duties, and, if anything, threw herself into an even greater fever of activity than before. Having briefly and efficiently organized her nursing staff, orderlies and patients, she made her way to the cubicle where her husband lay critically ill. Dr. Modley was bent over his patient, making as careful an assessment of the injuries as he could.
Right. Carefully now. Nurse, help me remove the cold towels.
All right, old son. We'll give you a shot of something. Nurse, ready with that syringe?
Here, doctor.
Thanks. Right, lad, here we go. Right. Thank you, nurse. That'll ease you a bit. Right now, on his tummy.
All right, nurse, just... Nurse Fennick and I will take care of this patient. You'll assist Dr. Carter.
Sister, do you think you...
With your permission, Dr. Modley, the patient is my husband. I'd like to be here.
Judy.
All right, love. I'm here.
Yes, sister, but it'll not be pleasant.
I've handled extensive burn cases before, Doctor.
Very well. Nurse, help the sister and myself to turn the patient.
Yes,
gently, sister. Gently, mind. Right. Now hand me those scissors, nurse.
Yes, doctor.
Let's try to cut away as much of the remaining charred clothing as possible. Tell me, how long was the patient immersed under the cold shower?
15 minutes, doctor.
Hmm. And how's the patient now? He seems suddenly very quiet.
Ben? No, he's unconscious, doctor.
What's his pulse rate? Nurse, pass me that slop bin for these stretch of clothing.
Yes, doctor. Pulse rate rapid and faint.
Pressure must be down. He's obviously in shock. Has he been given any liquids, nurse?
Sips of water every 10 minutes, doctor.
Plain water?
No, a solution of soda salt. But I'm afraid he wasn't very cooperative.
Right. I've prepared several pints of lactate Ringer solution. Organize that right away, nurse.
Yes, doctor.
I want at least 3 pints of the solution to be administered intravenously every hour.
Yes, doctor.
Well, that's the last of the charred material.
It's bad, isn't it, Doctor?
Extensive, deep second-degree burns of the lower back, buttocks and upper thighs. Oddly, his hands don't seem to have copped it much. The damage there is more superficial. When did this occur, sister?
I gather just over an hour ago, a little after 8:30.
I see. And how soon after the initial burns did treatment commence?
He arrived in casualty at 8:51. The immersion commenced within 5 minutes of arrival, I gather.
You all right, sister?
Yes, Doctor. Yes.
You wouldn't care to...
I'm fine, Doctor. I'm fine. Nurse Fenwick's been taking the patient's pulse and administering liquids every 10 minutes, as you heard. The pulse and heartbeat has grown steadily weaker since arrival.
Where the devil's that nurse with the solution?
Yes, Doctor.
Oh, right. We'll commence the intravenous injection immediately. Sister, bring me swabs and cleaning solution. Nurse Fenwick, help me with these bottles.
Burns are divided into 3 categories. First degree... A redness is seen in sunburn. Superficial second degree and deep second degree, which is a partial thickness burn with blistering formation, such as is seen in scalding. And third degree burn, such as is seen in clothing burns. Below that, charring occurs, which involves the bone. Deep second degree burns may also occur with clothing burns, and can be equally severe if infection is allowed to manifest itself. In deep burns, such as sustained by Ben Parrish, vital fluid loss occurs. The blood vessels leak plasma, the fluid part of the blood. Therefore, the volume of blood is sufficiently reduced to interfere with the circulation, and the proportion of solid to liquid in the blood reduces the flow still further. A failed circulation is the principal cause of shock to the system. The amount of fluid which leaks from blood to tissues determines the depth of shock, and therefore the danger to life. This fluid must be replaced immediately if other vital body organs are not to be affected. Hence Dr. Modley's concern for immediate intravenous replacement of lost body fluid. Of a similar priority is the rapid cooling of burnt tissues, for the longer the heat is retained, the deeper the burns may become. Modern treatment, therefore, commences with partial or complete immersion in cold water, ice packs, or iced towels. Once the temperature has been reduced and fluid replacement commenced, the process of cleaning is begun. And this involves gentle swabbing with a warm detergent solution.
All right, sister, that's about as much as we can do for the present. We'll now try reducing the risk of infection with a solution of silver nitrate over sterile gauze diluted at 0.5%.
Sterile gauze, is Nurse Finney?
Yes, sister.
The silver nitrate solution is in that cabinet. Once the dressing has been applied, it must be kept constantly saturated. That will fall to you, Nurse.
Yes, Doctor. And the Ringer solution, Doctor?
Continue for the next 24 hours. Now, I want a constant watch kept on the patient's urinary output. Inform me the moment it reaches 50 cc's per hour, and we'll sharply reassess the patient's hydration. Right, for the moment I leave you to it.
Oh, Dr. Modley?
Mm-hmm.
What news of the child?
Child?
That was brought in with my husband.
Oh, haven't you heard then? The child was dead on arrival. I'm about to inform the parents now.
Baby dead?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Frampton. There was nothing we could do.
Nothing you could do?
The child was dead before it reached us.
Ah! Abby, look, don't.
Mrs. Frampton, please, look.
You tell me, don't. You. It was you who killed her.
Oh, come.
You with your clever ideas. You with your penny-pinching schemes. If you'd called in a proper electrician.
Look,
you murdered her. You.
No.
You
Mrs. Frampton. No, Abby. Mrs. Frampton, please.
Come on,
Mrs. Frampton. Stop now.
Come on.
Orderly. Orderly, give me a hand in here, will you, ma'am?
There you go. Come on.
Come in. Oh, Sister Parrish. Oh, you look all in. Come and sit down.
No, I'm all right, Doctor. You wanted a word with me?
Yes, Sister. Your husband, I think today we can commence oral fluid replacement. 5% glucose in water hourly from now on. Also, we must step up his vitamin intake, the B complex and ascorbic acid. Yes, we must also try to induce the patient to eat a little more. He isn't getting nearly enough high protein, you know.
It isn't easy, Doctor. He'll hardly eat a thing, and don't think I haven't tried.
Yeah, I know. You're doing your best. Is he still losing weight?
Yes, Doctor, but at least he's taking fluid.
Hmm. All right, I'll be down shortly.
Oh, Doctor,
yeah?
What am I to do about Abby? Mrs. Frampton, she's still refusing to leave the hospital. It's been nearly 3 days.
Oh, dear. Where is she? Still in your office?
Yes, she's sleeping on my couch.
I see. Well, I'd have a word with her.
Last time you spoke to her, she got hysterical.
Yeah, it's all right. I understand she's still heavily sedated. I'll come down and have a word with her. Now, Mrs. Frampton, you simply got to accept it. Your child...
No, she isn't. I know she isn't. I haven't seen her. How do I know she's... Why won't no one let me see her? She's here. I know she's
Mrs.
here.
Mrs. Frampton, look, there's little point. We don't wish to distress you further. Your husband has already identified the...
Him. I hate him.
Now, that's just a reaction. I'm sure you don't
I do,
really...
I tell you. Won't you let me see her?
Mrs. Frampton, look, we don't want you to be more distressed than you are now. We want you to remember your daughter Carol the way she was. Look.
I want my little girl.
Look, Mrs. Frampton, if you won't go home...
No, I won't. Not to him. He killed her. It was him.
Look, why not let me arrange for you to spend a few days in our annex?
I'm not sick.
No, of course you're not. Just till you... Well, you feel more your old self again. Come on, let me take you down to the Lady Almoner. She'll make all the arrangements for you.
All right.
Come.
But I'm not going back to him. I'll never go back to him.
Abby Frampton was placed in the recuperation wing, where she was treated for delayed shock and depression. And no matter how her friend Judy Parrish remonstrated with her, she adamantly refused to have anything more to do with her husband. She blamed him utterly for the death of her child. Meanwhile, the silver nitrate treatment was continued with Ben Parrish, until Dr. Modley was satisfied that epithelization, or the growth of new tissues at the edges of the wounds, had begun.
Looks good. I think we can start skin grafting tomorrow. Well, how does that sound, Mr. Parrish?
Oh, sounds like you know what you're doing, Doctor.
How do you feel? Still in pain?
Quite a bit, I... And sort of, I don't know, restless.
And weak?
Yes.
Well, you've lost a lot of weight over the past couple of weeks. But once we start the skin graft, you'll feel a marked improvement. Are you still finding difficulty in eating?
Judy sits with me for hours, you know. I just can't seem to get it down. Lying in this awkward position, it doesn't help much.
Well, no, I'm sure it doesn't. But lying on your stomach is a great deal less painful than your full weight on those wounds. Right, I'll send your wife in now. I'm sure we can spare her services for a while.
At present, with infection controlled by bacteriostatic agents, such as silver nitrate, many of these apparently deep second-degree burns will epithelize and thus not require grafting. This was only partly the case with Ben Parrish, and so the skin grafts began. Thin slivers of skin, no thicker than 0.008 of an inch, were taken from the donor areas with an instrument called a dermatome, placed over the granulating wound surface, and left exposed. The moment these grafts were made, Ben Parrish began to improve dramatically. His appetite returned, he gained weight, and a general feeling of well-being took place in him. 2 weeks later, Dr. Modley reported his findings to his patient.
Well, Mr. Parrish, the grafts have taken well. Another couple of weeks and I think we can send you home.
Well, Ben, what do you think of that?
Oh, great. Does that mean I can start sleeping in my back?
Not just yet. No. Just be a little more patient, Mr. Parrish. Well, I must get on. Will you continue with your patient, sister?
Oh, yes, of course. Thanks, Doctor. Right, now, hold still.
Hey, Judy, before you put them dressings back, let's have a look.
Look?
Aye, I've got a couple of mirrors here.
Now, where did you get them?
Never mind. Hold them up and let's have a peek.
No, all right. There. Now, what do you think of that? Isn't it marvelous? What's up, Ben?
Marvelous. That. It's terrible. Do you mean I'm going to spend the rest of my life scarred like that? Right down me.
Ben! You're alive. Be grateful. That little kiddie is lying in her grave. Have you forgot?
I haven't forgotten. I don't think I'll ever forget that night. As long as I live. People don't know. They don't know what it's like. Being burnt alive. No one who hasn't been involved in a fire could possibly know the horror of it. Of course I'm grateful. Of course I am.
Grateful. And of course lucky. But not so for everyone. The International Burn Society was formed in 1965 and meets every 4 years to disseminate current knowledge of burn therapy throughout the world. But though the proficiency in saving patients with large and small burns grows, there are still vast areas in the world today which are unable to avail themselves of this knowledge. These life-saving agents and techniques are very expensive, and many underprivileged countries are unable to afford them.
Medical File, the documented story of the men and women who in hospitals, research centers, and lonely surgeries guard our lives. Listen again next week for another true story from Medical File.